Today on Real Radio.
You will not see this in any other church. You will not hear this on radio. I've been told after last service, don't say that again. Well, I'm real slow at learning. I want you to think for a moment. I just want you to think. When the cults knock on your door, why is it that they have this in common? Jesus must not and will not be who the Bible says he is.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Revelation. We're looking at chapter 13, where it goes into deeper detail about the Antichrist, capital A, the image of the beast, the mark of the beast, and so on. Just a real fascinating chapter, and here to expound on what it all means, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues in his study taken from the first 10 verses. It's called Antichrist is Coming to Town.
I mean, let's just get right down to the heart of the matter. The fact that Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, it just flat out upsets people. And you can be upset all you want. But on Sunday morning, Jesus' tomb was emptied. Not only that, but if you'll examine the Old Testament record, it said that this would happen. You got to square with Jesus. You got to deal with it. Well, the Antichrist will lead a tremendous movement of denial regarding the deity of Christ. Jesus told Nicodemus, unless you are born again, Nicodemus, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. That word means born from above. Yeah, that's another issue I have. You guys always talking about being born again, born again. You know, I don't want to belong in that club. It's not a club. Listen, the first time I heard it, it bothered me too. Jesus says, unless you're born again, you're not going to make it. Listen, he told that to a Jewish priest. That man was 10 times more religious than all of us combined. You think you're religious? Nicodemus put you and I to shame. He fasted, he gave money like you couldn't believe. He looked at the law and he did everything he could to keep it. And when he blew it, he grabbed an animal and went down to the temple and sacrificed it to have his sins covered. Jesus turned to him and said, unless you're born again, you'll not make it. He was so shocked by that. He said, Jesus, how can I, being an old man, enter into my mother and come out again a second time? He didn't listen to what Jesus said. The word in Greek means, unless you're born from above, Nick, you're not going to make it. You've been born of this earth one time, but you have to be born a second time from above. You were born of your mother in this world. To make it to heaven, to the next world, you have to be born from above. And who do we see at the end of Jesus' life when they're taking his body down from the cross? Who do we see taking his body and laying it in the tomb? Nick. Nicodemus. Nicodemus caught on, he got it. Paul the Apostle. Again, Paul the Apostle's religiosity put Nicodemus to shame. Paul the Apostle. And Paul the Apostle said, look, you want to talk about good works and being a hot dog for God? I am the hottest of dogs for God. I was circumcised on the eighth day. Top that one. I'm from the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning the law, blameless. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. I'm it. I'm the end of human perfection in the flesh. I've kept it all. And Paul would say, I challenge anyone to challenge my religious credentials as to who is worthy. And he says, all these things that I achieved, I count them, but what? Dung. Bandini. Poo-poo. Pate. Waste. He said, but now I know Christ. And Paul the Apostle was born again. Listen, I don't care how long you've been coming to Calvary. Or maybe you've been a member of the Baptist church, or maybe you're a Lutheran or a Methodist. You will not make it to heaven unless you're born again. You don't understand. I don't care what you say, Pastor. I've been a member of my church for 45 years. Find that in the Bible. Listen, if you're a Hindu today, you have to be born again. If you're a Jew today, you have to be born again. If you name the name of Christ, if you say you're a Christian, are you born again? Saying a Christian doesn't do it. How are you going to get to heaven? You know, those poor, perverted, demonized men who flew those planes into the World Trade Center, into the Pentagon, did you know what they were taught? They were taught that they could redeem themselves by doing this great act for Allah. And in the name of Allah, if they did this, they could enter eternity and be presented for their worthy act, 72 virgins each. That was their reward. Did you know they were lied to? And the passengers on those planes weren't the only ones that went into eternity, but those maniacs that were lied to did as well? And what do you do? Stand before God and say, hey, accept me. I just flew an airplane into some buildings. That's going to account for something. You say, well, that's ridiculous. The Bible teaches clearly that by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in the sight of God. That's just as ridiculous. Hang on, ushers, guard the doors. It's just as ridiculous as some very moral man standing up and saying, God, don't you know that I was an upstanding citizen in our community and I helped with benevolent affairs and I was a philanthropic activist in our town and I did all these things, and what do you mean I can't come in? Jesus says, unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. That question should weigh upon every one of our hearts until it happens. And when it happens, you'll know it. You'll know. You see, this man, the Antichrist, will be against all this. And one of the things that he will do is that upon his heads, these crowns, these places of authority, they have something in common. They blaspheme the very existence of the name and the person of God. And then, by the way, I just want to suggest to you that that's happening today in our world. If you don't believe that, just take a gentle stand. You don't even have to say anything. Just wear a t-shirt. Jesus loves me. You can put a t-shirt on that says, Jesus loves me. And you know what? People are going to look at you like you're a wacko and you're a weirdo, that you just walked out of therapy or you got loose from the Lulu farm. That, you know, they're going to think you're nuts. And they're going to, Jesus. You can mention anybody else's name and it's fine. You mention his name and you got a war on your hands. Go figure that one out. It's spiritual, my friend, that's why. And there's an attack. Why is it that at your door, as you've heard me say before, at your door, all of the cults have one thing in common? They differ in a lot of areas. Why do they have this one thing in common? They all deny, they blaspheme God the Father by doing what? That's right, by denying the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, unless you honor the Son, you cannot honor the Father. God said in Proverbs 30, verse 4, now you need to listen to this very carefully. You've heard it before, but listen. In Proverbs 30, verse 4, he says, who has ascended into heaven or descended, and who has gathered the wind in his fist, and who has bound the waters in his garment? He's asking a question. Who has established all the ends of the earth? What's his name? And what is the name of his son, if you know? The Bible says, Solomon said, God has a son that resides with him in heaven. And Jesus said of himself, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him. Don't you love that word, whosoever? He said, well, Pastor, can I? I don't know. Are you a whosoever? That whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. But the cults have this thing in common, to defy the deity of Jesus Christ and to tear him down and to make a fervent declaration that he is not who the Bible says he is. I want you to look to the screens for a second. I want you to put this in your mind. You will not see this in any other church. You will not hear this on radio. I've been told after last service, don't say that again. Well, I'm real slow at learning. I want you to think for a moment. I just want you to think. When the cults knock on your door, why is it that they have this in common? Jesus must not and will not be who the Bible says he is. You recognize this place? It's in Jerusalem. These are our photos. We were there last spring, this past spring. You see around that building? That's Arabic. You know what it says in Arabic? God is not begotten, nor does God have a son. Did you know that? Anybody? Did they tell you that on CNN? They won't tell you that. Why is it up there? You know, prior to the mid-600s, that was not there, by the way. Didn't exist. Why is it there? Why is it? Here the Antichrist is coming into the world on a wave of people who deny that Jesus is the Son of God. Does that not sound familiar to our age? Shocking? Yeah. The truth? Yes. Politically correct? No. Could such information spawn a violent attack? Yes. But let the truth be true. And notice that when you pick up your Bible, my friend, it's alive. God knew that you and I would be living in an age that it would be vogue, it would be cool to denounce the deity of Jesus Christ. And those days are marching. I'm going to give you homework because we're out of time. I'm going to give you this homework. Today, read Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 7. It's very important you understand that. Why? Because the powers that operate this man in the system are demonic. It will become a global event by demonic powers. It says in verse 2, now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. That means he was not a leopard. He was like a leopard. Well, what's a leopard known for? Anybody? Spots and what else? Good. Yes. Spots and speed. He can't change his spots, can he? He has a character, he has a nature that can't be changed. This man cannot be saved. He is referred to by Christ himself as the son of perdition. This man's existence is meted out for his end. Not only that, leopards are quick. But what's interesting about this is, in Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 7, what do we know now from history when Daniel gave the interpretation of the future kingdoms. Now watch this. I'll run through it quickly. You read it later now, remember. Nebuchadnezzar had a wild dream. Nebuchadnezzar, whoa, what's this dream all about? Nobody could interpret it but Daniel. Daniel came in and said, Nebuchadnezzar, this is the meaning. And Daniel began to give a historical account from the Babylonian Empire all the way through to the coming of the Antichrist. What's important about Revelation 13 is that it takes the fact that Nebuchadnezzar was viewed as this head of gold, this lion, referred to in the book of Daniel. The Medo-Persian Empire that conquered the Babylonian Empire was viewed as this silvery statue of the torso, the upper torso of the statue he saw. And Nebuchadnezzar says, what's this? And Daniel says, that's the next kingdom that's going to come after yours. That's going to be the Medo-Persian kingdom. And we know that to be true. The Medo-Persian kingdom defeated the Babylonian kingdom. And then as he went down the statue, what's this next image? Ah, the next image, the thighs, this bowel or stomach area, symbolized as a leopard from another vantage point in the book of Daniel. Who conquered the Medo-Persian Empire? Some young guy by the name of Alexander the Great. The Grecian Empire, the Macedonian Grecian Empire conquered the Medo-Persian Empire. Who conquered the Grecian Empire? As you work your way down that statue that Nebuchadnezzar was trying to understand. Daniel says that last empire, the fourth one, was worse than all of them combined. And that is a kingdom like a bear. It's brutal. It's strong. It's got a system that will crush the world into submission. The interesting thing about the Roman Empire, by the way, it says in the book of Daniel, it would be broken up into two legs. And so exactly was the Roman Empire, the western flank of the Roman Empire and the eastern flank of the Roman Empire. The question is, in Daniel's dream, Nebuchadnezzar's dream, that is, no one ever conquers the fourth and final beast. It just kind of is quiet for the last 2,000 years. Last 1,600 years. The Roman Empire, according to the Bible, is in a state, as it were, of coma. It's in a suspended state. Until the scripture says in the book of Daniel that out of that old gathering, there will arise 10 kings. And out of the 10 kings, Daniel says, there will be four that are predominant. And out of the four will arise one who puts down the other. Three. And this little horn will raise to prominence. He'll seek to control the world. He'll sign a peace treaty with Israel. And the Bible says that he'll turn and he will be granted power to kill and to destroy the believers during that 7-year period of time. You say, well, Jack, I'm so glad that's so far away. I'm glad it's far away, but I also have to end this by saying we sure see a lot of indicators that could lead or show the first signs of such a thing. Where are we on the grand prophetic scale? As a Christian, I don't mean to be flippant about this. I don't mean to be rude about it. But concerning the coming of the Antichrist, I'm not looking for him. I have to study the Bible because it speaks about him. But I don't really care about him. He's not my concern. You say, oh, well, what makes you so sure? Well, because I'm not going to be here. That's why I'm so sure. The rapture of the church will take place, allowing this man to be exposed to the world. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, teaches that the departure of the church will issue in the advent of this maniac politician. It will fulfill Daniel chapter 9 in the great tribulation period. Well, not only that, I thank God that by his mercy, I know him in whom I've believed. That if somebody today stood up with a machine gun, or I slipped on a banana peel, or I choked on a taco, I'm going to go be with Jesus. Do you understand that? Well, what makes you so sure about that? Because Jesus said, if a man dies believing in me, yet shall he live. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. To live as Christ and to die as gain. We'll end here. My friend, don't get caught up into the horrific scene and let it discourage you. Right now, you can make a decision that can change your life forever. Maybe we go out of our way here to downplay certain things. To downplay things that you might gravitate toward to assign your faith to. What I mean by that is I'm not dressed in a robe, and I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying I'm not dressed in a robe, and you didn't have to go through any ritualistic things just now. Why? Because those things don't save you. You understand? They can't. We come to you this morning in the spirit of the work upon the cross. When the thief was on the cross, he had nothing to give. But he cried out in faith to Jesus. We go out of our way to make sure that you're not mesmerized by this or by that or the other thing, but you look to Christ. Right now I'm asking you that you would look to Christ, that you would look to Jesus. That you would search your heart right now and say, why am I here? Not only here, but why am I here in this world? And if I died today, if I choked on a taco, or if I get in an accident today, where will I go? How do you know you're going to go? Are you born again? What's interesting about my question is, and don't get upset with me, there's no like little club rule like, oh, you're going to go, okay, right. We're not going to issue cards. We can't. It's between you and the Lord. But my friend, listen. Those who are born again by the Spirit of God, they know they are. They know that they are. If today you agree that Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the dead, according to the gospel, that he asked you to come just as you are in all of your beauty and all of your wealth and in all of your ugliness and all of your poverty and all of your influence or none at all. He says, come and I'll receive you. See, don't leave today thinking, well, I hope I am. Pastor, I really hope I am. Don't do that. Know that you are. And in the age in which you and I live in, with the advent of evil as it is, and the dangers that are coming to America, that will challenge our own freedom to gather and worship, you better know him while you have opportunity. Please, through Christ, I beg of you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, taking us through the first 10 verses of Revelation chapter 13, which speaks of the Antichrist. And we'll continue on Monday's broadcast of Real Radio with more in this fascinating chapter. Each weekday, we bring to you Real Radio so that you will continually learn more about God's Word and God's will. So why not make this program part of your daily routine? In addition to equipping you through this daily program, we're also making you an offer that'll equip you even more for your contribution to Real Radio of any amount. We'll send to you one of the few books recommended by Pastor Jack. It's called Set Apart by R. Kent Hughes. Set Apart is really quite the eye-opening observation about the behaviors and lifestyles of today's Christians and how they are often mirror reflections of the unsaved. And then, Set Apart also becomes a how-to of sorts on holy living. In addition to the book Set Apart, we'll also send you Pastor Jack's powerful message, Can a Nation Rise Again? It was delivered on the eve of 9/11's fifth anniversary. Can a nation rise again? Well, yes, if certain things first happen within our society. Find out what they are by hearing Can a Nation Rise Again? Now, this is all for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Go to realradioactive.org to learn more. realradioactive.org. Our mailing address? Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our telephone number, 909-393-7100. Again, 909-393-7100. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and is able to continue on the air reaching people for Christ because of your participation. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.